I was listening to something last night, and I was laughing because I thought some of you might feel the same way this morning. When you go to church, you go to a new church, and you're all excited to hear the pastor, and then you come, and it's totally different, and it's not the pastor. Surprise, you won. It's me today. And so his disclaimer was, don't leave. Maybe God has something for you today, maybe through me. And I have... Really, my name is Aaron Davenport Spinello. My dad is Kevin Davenport. He's the pastor. It's my mom right here. And I've had the amazing privilege of growing up in our church. For those of you that don't know, I'm going to take the time to say this because it's always kind of nice to know who's speaking to you. But I've grown up in this church. I have I've been blessed with an amazing family. And I can definitely say, a lot of times people will say to me, oh, you go to your dad's church. I go, not really. It's my church. And then I don't really like it when people find out I'm a pastor's kid because they just have a list of how I must be. And so we laugh about that. I'm like, you think I'm wild? And then they're like, are you? I'm like, maybe. You have to get to know me. So we just kind of like keep it fresh, you know. Then you never know what you're going to get. So I am here today as a real person who has great emotion. Sometimes I'm really joyful, and sometimes I have a bad attitude. This is my son, Cade. Cade, wave. Does mommy have a bad attitude? Don't answer that. Oh! He's here. I call him my fact checker. He never lets me exaggerate. So he wants to be in here today, and it was really funny. As I'm trying to prepare, we had three different events yesterday. For those of you that your husbands were out of town, I'm sure you could relate. It was like chicken with your head crawled off, trying to remain joyful. So fun. You know, what's for dinner? I don't know. You know, the whole thing. That's how it was for me yesterday, and I was extra careful because I knew I was going to be speaking today. Okay, when you're up here and you know you're going to be speaking, you're real careful about your attitude. But mine was going south a few times, and I'd be like, guys, I'm so sorry. And they'd say, it's okay. Lucy says to me, just how a 4.5-year-old can, Mom, just don't even worry about it. Just go to church and say, guys, my dad's not here or anything, so just talk and have fun. I'm like, you think that's a good plan? She says, yeah. And you can have donuts and coffee. It's totally fine, Mom. So now that you don't need to study, why don't you come tuck me in? And I'm like, oh, boy. So I have come here today with all of that. And I am here as a very real person, as somebody who, just like you, tries to find moments in their day to connect with not only people but the Lord. And my title or my first point is following Jesus when. So take a moment and what comes to your head? Following Jesus when? Say it loud. When you don't want to. Following Jesus when? Anybody over here? You don't have time. Following Jesus when? In the back, anyone? Always, okay. Following Jesus when? One more. It hurts. Lindsay. Yes, when he might make you do something that you don't like. I wrote, following Jesus when you're empty, scared, nervous, happy, encouraged, and frustrated. Right? Sum up all of our emotions. There's a story I was thinking about. I had an opportunity this summer to go to a conference, and I was so excited to get to learn something new. I just couldn't wait, and I'm driving, and I'm just like the total student in the front with highlighters and like, oh, this is so good. And then I'm coming home, and I notice my gas tank isn't empty, but close. And I thought, you know what? I don't know anything here. I'm going to keep going, not realizing there is nothing between San Onofre and San Clemente. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, my faith got real, real fast. Because I thought, even if I run out of gas on the side of the road, someone's going to have to go this way and this way, and there's traffic. So I just started really going after it in the Lord. Lord, you can make waters part. Lord, you can add to my gas tank. Lord, help me make it. And I am just intense on what praying and asking and begging of the Lord. And of course, I feel like he always speaks to me in my daily life and how I run on empty sometimes and operate that way spiritually, trying just to make it to the next time and just to make it. And if I just do this, then I'll be okay. Well, woohoo, I made it. And I got gas, and the gas attendant was like, wow, you're really happy. I'm like, you have no idea. You're an answer to prayer. And he's like, okay. So it was just really, you know, following Jesus when you're on empty. Following Jesus when you're scared that he's going to have you do something you don't want to. Following Jesus when you don't want to. Following Jesus when you want to. What does that look like? And I know that Jesus, I just was kind of, as we were sitting in here today and we're worshiping, I want to invite us to dial it down. Dial it down to the realness of who he is and what he has for you. Think of yourself for a moment as a little girl or a little boy when your heart was tender, when the world, all the different stuff, the layers weren't there, and you were just more responsive maybe, more raw. You knew really quickly if you liked something or didn't and didn't try to make it sound better or worse. As a little person, when you were a little girl, a little boy, God was speaking to you, and he was drawing you, and he was saying, Sean, I have plans for you. Even when Sean did not know it, he was drawing her and inviting her in. And it is so easy as we get bigger and life happens to get distracted and start taking our eyes off of Jesus. I was thinking about some stories in the Bible, Jesus in the temple. We're not going to read it, but it's in Luke 2, 41 through 52, when Jesus was a little boy and they lost Jesus. That's an awesome story. Makes you feel better as a mom. Mary lost Jesus. Okay, you're okay. I had a terrifying experience when, I don't know if I lost Lucy or Lucy lost me. I think it's more that way. She booked Downtown Disney and my whole entire life flashed before my eyes. Okay, so Mary identified with us. She lost Jesus. I was thinking about when King David got sidetracked and he falls for another man's wife, Bathsheba. And he was out on the rooftop and he's looking afar and he starts seeing a beautiful woman bathing. Classic wrong place at the wrong time. And he went back up and he kept watching. He got distracted. I started thinking about when the waves were coming and the eyes were taken off Jesus and the disciples started to fall back into the waves because he took his eyes off of Jesus. He stopped looking at Jesus and started looking at his circumstances. And our circumstances can look like giant waves when we're not looking at Jesus. When we're looking at Jesus, those waves don't have the same power. Well, all of that to say, there are so many stories that show us how intimately involved God is in our day and wants to be in our day. In fact, Jesus, point number one, Jesus wants to interrupt your day. I heard someone say yesterday we were talking, it's like, yeah, my plans didn't go as I hoped. You know, my day's totally out of whack. And I was saying, yeah, me too. And I thought, you know what? That's how God is. He allows these things to interrupt our day. In the midst of our craziness, we take and can take our eyes off of Jesus. I was thinking about the story of the woman at the well. It was a normal thing to get water at the well. And Jesus interrupted her day. I've been thinking about this story a lot with the Samaritan woman. And as you guys, most of you maybe know about the just the social acceptance of a Samaritan woman with Jesus. She had a really bad reputation. She was a woman. She was a Samaritan. And he stopped. And this is what happened in John 4, 7. When the Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? He invited her in to help. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was who asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, the well is so deep. Where can I get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us a drink and drank from it himself and also did his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Jesus used the simple, a need, the natural, to ask for a drink of water, to completely talk to this lady's heart and her soul and transform her whole life. I'm finding more and more in my life that God uses the usual, the normal, not the crazy and outrageous. He uses the little things to speak to me and gives us opportunity. In John 6, 1 through 12, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but Jesus talks about feeding the 5,000. Okay, so this is an amazing story where a mom packed her son a lunch. She's just a good mom and prepared a lunch for her son. And what happened with that? It was multiplied to feed 5,000 people. It was a normal thing. It was the consistency. It was the showing up. It was the being prepared and the normal things that God used to multiply his greatness. And I, as we're sitting here today and we're thinking about where we are, I mean, we all have these thoughts going on all the time. You know, we have God's voice. We have our thoughts, and we have the enemy's voice, and we're constantly just having these different dialogues with ourselves. And I wonder today, what is the normal thing you are doing that would allow Jesus to show up in your life and in others' lives in a greater way? Some of us are asked to go to India. Some of us are asked to go next door and bring our neighbor soup. Some of us are asked to bring an extra sandwich for a friend. Some of us are asked to bring an encouraging word. What is he asking of us today? Well, this is the bulk of what hit me to share today. That point number two is that Jesus models. He's such a good teacher. And he models for us what he wants us to do. And I'm going to take some of this out of Mark. And I'm going to give a little bit of background in Mark 1 and 2, and then get to the verse I'd like to read. When I was reading it, it was becoming so alive to me again in fresh ways, and I was seeing things that hit me differently. Mark 1, there is so much with Jesus casting out demons. It says he healed many. I mean, it just says that. He healed many. The story of the man with leprosy, he healed him. And it just said, it talks about that several times throughout that chapter. He healed many. In chapter 2, he heals a paralytic. And this is an awesome story. Remember, maybe you learned it in Sunday school, or maybe it's new today, where there's a paralytic person, and four people are carrying that person, and they're saying, we got to get to Jesus. But because in chapter 1 we read that he's healing many, the word is getting out, and getting out, and getting out. And getting out. And it says it was so crowded, there was nowhere to go, no side door. They couldn't get to Jesus. So they put him and laid him down and were carrying him. You know what they did? They said, we want to get to Jesus so bad, we're going to cut a hole in the roof and bring this man down. They wanted Jesus that bad. Was it convenient? No. Could it have been too hard? Yes. Was it safe? I'm not sure. But they wanted Jesus. They wanted Jesus. And I have the amazing opportunity that I am surrounded by people who suffer. And I love it because there is not a tougher group of people who suffer for the kingdom. When you see somebody, I was with Cade's playing on a flag football team, and there's this little boy with cerebral palsy, and he's on the team. And this little guy is nonverbal. But he completely understands. And I just was watching Cade and this boy have this moment, completely understanding each other. And I thought, man, this story became so real because I do know people who cannot walk. I do know people who cannot talk. I do know people who suffer every day. And it's not convenient to do something big like that. But they heard about Jesus and they wanted him. They knew. I mean, I have to think, they knew that if they would have just have Jesus look at their son, what could happen? There's so much hope in that moment. And it says Jesus looks at them and he has compassion on him and he is healed. And he's healed. And as I was reading this, I observed two things. You guys might get two different things, but this is what I observed. The more Jesus healed, the more people came to him. The more Jesus healed, the more people opposed him. So we have the Pharisees who are saying, oh, I don't know, Jesus. I don't think you're supposed to heal that guy. It's the Sabbath. And his arm was totally disfigured, but you healed it, and he can move. But you know what? It's the Sabbath. I'm sorry. It's a technicality. And then they start talking to their people and saying, why is he doing that on the Sabbath? He knows the law. Is he really the Lord? Who is this? And just keeps talking. The more Jesus healed, the more people became excited for his healing, and the more he healed, the more people became critical. And I see that happen in my own life. The more there's breakthrough, the more there's fighting here, the more there's this, the more there's that. And I have to know that I know that I know that God is with me. So, in Mark 3, 13 through 15, and this is the Message version, it says, Jesus climbed a mountain and invited those he wanted with him. I'm going to read that again. He climbed a mountain and invited those he wanted with him. So Jesus invited those he wanted with him. Then they climbed together. Then he settled on the 12, and he designated them apostles. This is my thought. Some of you might know this more than me. But I, with reading this, think there were probably more there. But he settled on the 12, just me. The plan was that they would be with him, and he would send them out to proclaim the word and give them authority to banish demons. So this is the part, this is like Jersey Day, when Jesus is saying, you, come with me. I want you. I'm summoning you here, and you 12 are going to be my apostles and my disciples, right here. Point number one, he invited those he wanted to be with him. Number two, that they would be with him. And I'm taking this just out of this scripture. Number three, that he would send them out to proclaim the word. Number four, he would give them authority to banish demons. The invitation and the be with. This is kind of my main point. He invites us to be with him. Can you guys say that with me? Say, be with him. Be with him. It's not do for him. It's be with him. I completely, myself, up here saying this, completely flip that like 90% of the time. I'm doing for him. I'm loving for him. I'm helping for him. I'm being a mom for him. That 10% that makes all of that even better is the being with him, the intimacy. And it's there's an awesome speaker who used to come, and he would always say, the main things are the plain things. They're not the fancy things that you can't get your hands around. It's the main things are the plain things. God invites us to be with him. He says, come with me. You know this song, Deep and Wide, that we sing Sunday school? Deep and wide, deep and wide. There's a, anybody? Fountain flowing, what? Deep and wide. Okay, we sing that. And sometimes even when we're doing music for the kids, we're like, nah, 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 nah. And they're like, well, I started thinking about that. We have to go deep before we can go wide. We have to go deep in him before we can go wide. Our authority to minister is a result of times of intimacy with him. There's a book that some of this I was reading, and it was encouraging because it was putting some of my thoughts in like a focus. And these are some of the points I got from a book called Awakening. I'm going to read a quote out of it in a minute. But the breadth of each of our impact and ministry is tied to the depth of our intimacy with Christ. The breadth of each of our impact and ministry is tied to the depth of our intimacy with Christ. You know, as a Christ follower, when you say that, when you say, I want to be on your team, God, I want to follow your ways. I want to stop being so sinful, or I want to forgive. I want to be on your team. You know, kind of how we explain it to our kids, that when you say yes to Jesus, you're saying yes to his team. And then as a little child, we grow, right? We grow in our understanding of Christ. We grow in our intimacy with him. But sometimes we forget how to stop and be still. And we almost want to make it so complicated that all the doing, really helps the being. But it's the being that really helps the doing. And I am not up here as an expert saying, nailed it. No. Here's a little hint. Usually what people are speaking on is what God is helping them with. So, you know, I know some of us get at our wits' end, and then we pray. I don't know. There's nothing to do but pray, I guess. I don't know. We're praying about it. We're hoping to get out of under our circumstances. All these encouraging things that we as Christians say, right? But we have it wrong. And when we look at his model, Jesus' model, to follow, when he invites you to follow him, all he's inviting you to do is to be with him. The doing comes later. God gives us opportunities to participate in kingdom business. It's really fun. It's really fun when you get to do something and you just feel that God's in this. You kind of can't explain it, but you're just like, God's in this. This is too big. Doesn't make sense. God's in this. Sometimes it's really clear what you're doing and God is in it. And that is what he has you involved in those activities and has, we're going to get to this part, good works for you prepared. But the main thing is to love the Lord God with all your heart. It is not to go do stuff for me. It's backwards. It's to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. And in our culture, there are so many distractions. I am so guilty of it. Even our iPhones, they kind of keep us not really engaged all the time in what we're doing. There's always some, like, people that you don't know or don't see waiting to talk to you. It's our culture. It's where we live. And you know what? It's also a huge temptation to do things differently. Do things kind of how your neighbor's doing it because that looks cool or that seems right. But remember, the main things are the plain things. And I'm reminded of the story of David when he went to go fight Goliath and they are putting all this armor on him. Because that's what you do. If you're going to fight, you put on this armor and you go out there. That was the culture. And David said, I can't wear this. This is not how I've been taught to fight. And we know the story of the rocks and the sling. And we know that Goliath was defeated. The culture is not going to get better. You know, outside of the kingdom, it's probably going to get worse. But through the eyes of hope and faith and what God's doing, and he's always at work and he's not nervous, we know that he is alive and working in our culture. I was having an awesome discussion with Erica about just some stuff that's going on abroad, and what she saw and what she hears, and how there's people like you and me that Jesus appears to. I know of a story where a woman had a dream where Jesus had not, they never knew about God. It was a Muslim area, which we do hear about this, where she had a dream and the whole village came to know Jesus from a dream. I tell you that to hopefully stretch your faith and encourage you that God doesn't need X, Y, and Z to talk to you. God doesn't need Cade's friend to have a voice to really communicate and have a purpose. God doesn't need your gifts. He gave you your gifts. And they're just that, a gift. But he really wants to use you and has a plan for you. And we're invited. He invites us to go with him. When he tells in that third point that he would send them out to proclaim to the world, he's inviting us to do that. Whatever your sphere of influence is, he invites you to go out and proclaim. Some of you might have seen the news story of the gentlemen who were on the train that on their way to Paris, right? Paris, okay. And there was a bad guy, a terrorist, and they knocked him down, and they won. And it's like this amazing story, and I got to watch this interview with them. And they were talking to them, how did you know how to do this? How were you trained? How did you? And he said, I don't know, we just went. We just went. He said, did you guys talk about this? Did you think about dying? Like, not really, we just went. They didn't have time to think about if they were going to die. They just went. They had been trained, but part of their training, they said, is to never let your guard down as a civilian, is you have to be alert. And there's a training that happens when you are in those moments that you don't just casually not look at your surroundings. And I thought how that could translate for us in the kingdom, that we're not just entering a situation with our half asleep and our eyes closed and like, oh, okay. But as a kingdom worker, we go in there and we're alert and we're ready and we're prepared and we're available. And part of that is a training, because it's sometimes, people can be tiring sometimes. And sometimes maybe you don't feel like talking to that person on the plane. Or maybe you don't want to pour yourself out. And God has grace for all of it. And we, in our time of being with him, we'll know where to go in the doing better. He trains us. Like an athlete, he trains us. Erica said this today that I thought was great. It just ties into what I was feeling on my heart, too, that we are to abound in every good work. It's not that we're not supposed to do good works. You know, sometimes we kind of feel like, you know, when we don't know how to handle what God has for us, you know, it can get kind of weird in our heads. But he has prepared good works for us. He's inviting us to do those. It's just not the flip way where you go and do and not be. It's the be and then go and do. In 2 Timothy 3:17, it says, we are thoroughly equipped for every good work. He has amazing adventure for us. He is not boring. If you are bored in the Lord, do I dare say it? That's not his problem, right? If you're stuck in a rut and you don't know how to get out, he wants to lead you out. He's leading me out of stuff. And it's scary to leave old stuff, isn't it? It's scary to want to do something different sometimes. It's scary to take that leap forward. I know, I feel that it's scary. I used to think it's bad, or not bad, but almost like, I think all of this with Cade and on our journey with our son, for those of you that don't know, has a brain tumor that's stable, and he suffered a stroke and is legally blind and sees half out of one eye. Right, Cade? Got that? Okay. Fact checker. So let me tell you, when people know I have a strong faith, and it's not a perfect faith, but it's a real one, and they said, are you scared? And I almost felt like, I don't know how to answer that, because do I know God is there? But yes, I'm scared. I'm really, really scared. But you know what? I learned that there's freedom in that. Because I saw myself as a little girl, I know where to tuck in. That's the thing, is he knows. Being afraid is not the sin. Not knowing where to tuck in and what to do with that fear is the problem. He held my hand. He comforted me. I've never felt peace like that, ever. But I've never been as scared, ever. Came like a blanket over me where the tears were about to come, and I actually literally felt his presence fall on me in the middle of an appointment with our neurosurgeon. I'm like, because it was not the time to have a breakdown. It wasn't. I could have, but I felt the prayer. I felt the hope. I felt the, it's okay, I know you're scared. Remember, I'm the God with you, with you. So my faith in new ways have been tested and grown and stretched and tried and true. Because I can tell you today, I don't understand a lot of things. But some of the things that I wanted to understand in the past doesn't really matter. Kate and I a lot of times talk about his journey and, you know, we talk about why or whatever. And he goes, Mommy, it doesn't really matter. When we're at heaven, it won't really matter. Right? Humbled. And that's true. It doesn't really matter. What matters is if we quit, we start working so hard for him that we leave him. And then you know it's fake in your heart, and you know you're not really just here, and you go to church and have a donut. I mean, that's our church culture for guests. Coffee and donut after. Kids are thrilled. So, but that is fellowship, but that's not, he didn't die for donuts and coffee. He didn't. But don't we feel like that sometimes? Like, oh, the worship was good. Sunday school was glitchy. I can say that because I'm back there. I won't say anything about worship, Eric. It was awesome. You know, we kind of, in our minds, start evaluating this. And when we read what's going on around the country and that people are being persecuted and killed for saying the name of Jesus, it makes our donuts look a little bit like donuts, right? His kingdom is coming. His kingdom is coming. And we don't want to be left behind in what he's doing. He's invited you on an amazing journey. And there's times that I miss the invitation. I just don't feel up for going. And it was an amazing time. And God loves me so much that he gives me another opportunity. But I have these dialogues with myself all the time. It goes like, gosh, I'm really tired. Oh, I can't wait till Mike gets home. I need another cup of coffee. Blah, 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 blah. That's my daily dialogue. And the Lord, I'm wanting it more. I'm asking him to put the hunger in me more. I want to listen more to him. I want to know what he's telling me because maybe some of the doing isn't what he's telling me to do. It's just routine. Just what I do. I do this. It's worked. It's what we do. But maybe that's not what he wants for me. But I won't know if I don't spend time being with him. And we used to get asked this a lot in youth ministry. How do you hear God's voice? How do you hear his voice? How do you know what he's telling you? How do you have a quiet time? What's a quiet time? What's an inner closet? You know, all these words that we throw out to in church types of things. I mean, okay, so for me, I'm a mover that when I'm praying, I like to move. Some people like to sit. Some people like to go to a quiet place and they just are quiet. And there is a time to be that way. But God has made each one of us in here as individuals. He's made some of us really creative. He's made some of us really scholarly. He's made some of us really organized. He's made some of us really athletic. But the point is that he's made you. And the gifts that you have, they're gifts. And isn't it tempting sometimes, you guys don't even have to admit this, but I'll just say it. Isn't it tempting sometimes to sometimes feel good about your gifts? Like, oh, that was pretty good. Or, I know you think it. Sometimes. Because you wouldn't be doing what you're doing if you didn't think you were, that there's some gifting there. And it's true. But the gifts are separate. They're just an add-on to you. And God never makes anybody and doesn't give them at least one gift. Even the person who cannot talk, even the person who cannot stand, even the person who has their whole family is not around. He does not forget, and he has equipped each one of us in this room with a gift. And then the cool thing is that he brings opportunities for us that are either inner gifting or stretching because he's adding to you and growing you. There's many times that I'm like, this is out of my deal. But God brings those things. He wants to, the interior life, the being, is what creates the character formation. If for all the doing, the character formation can become showy or stagey or whatever. And that's what none of us really like. And you can, when you see it, you don't really like that. Or when we see it in ourselves. I was reading Romans 12, 1 through 2, talking about being a living sacrifice, because our lives are to be a sacrificial life. One that, you know, as a mom, I am in the business of service. And I heard a really funny parenting thing I was listening to, and he said, talked about wanting kids and how it's so hard. He goes, kids are a huge inconvenience. And I've never heard someone say that from the up. He's like, they want to eat in the middle of the night. You know, they want dinner every night. They, you know, they want all this stuff. It is. The reward of having children is outweighs that. But he teaches us how to serve in being a parent. He teaches us how to serve in our jobs. He teaches us how to serve in our neighborhood. And I want to pray that as I read this scripture, thinking about this, I don't know where everybody is at in here today. It would be impossible to know that. But I know for sure there's some hard situations in a room like this. There's for sure hard situations. Some situations where you feel there's no hope. Some situations where you need a breakthrough. And I don't know if this is for anybody in here, but it's not 100% my message, but this was on my heart as I was preparing about trust. That there's someone or some people in here today, they're really, really struggling with trust. It's like when if you went to the heart doctor, they would see some things in there. Well, the Holy Spirit is the heart doctor, and when you're with him, he will help bring those issues to the surface so you can deal with them. Someone told me this recently, and I thought it was so amazing. The reason God wants us to trust him, as we trust him, we become trustworthy. It's in trusting him that we become trustworthy. And whatever our roadblocks are of why we don't do X, Y, and Z, I want to encourage us to do the hard work, to sit before the Lord uncomfortably. You know, sometimes it's really uncomfortable to be by yourself. Because noise keeps your mind going. But sitting before him, uncomfortably, pouring your heart out to him, saying, I am scared. I am lonely. I am proud. I am whatever it is. Help me, Jesus. Romans 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, I urge brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Should I stay or should I go? Should I take the promotion? Should I share with this person? Should I have this surgery? What is God's will? His good and pleasing and perfect will. My takeaways as I was studying was, I want to be a better listener to you, Lord. I want to trust you more. I want to go where you're leading. I want to hear your voice, and I want to obey. And I'm going to read something from the book Awakening. That hit me. He leads us step by step from event to event. Only afterwards, as we look back over the way we have come and reconsider certain important moments in our life in the light of all that has followed them, or when we survey the whole progress of our lives, do we experience the feeling of having been led without knowing it. The feeling that God has been mysteriously guiding our lives all along. And that's a quote from The Adventure of Living. And I have so many moments like that where there's no words. Sometimes we call it a God thing where we don't know, but this is just not coincidence. There's something happening here. And it's really amazing when we get to see that. A lot of times we don't, and we walk by faith. But sometimes we get to see his hand. He invites us to be with him. What an amazing invitation. And one that is so easy to take for granted. You know, if somebody that you really respect invited you to be with him for dinner or whatever, our ears perk up. The creator of the whole universe, who made you, who knows the number of hairs on your head, who knows your weaknesses, who knows your strengths, who knows your struggles, is inviting you to be with him. And then he wants to send you out to proclaim the world, to the world. If it sounds scary in the being, you're going to get the courage to do what he's calling you to do. It sounds scary because we're wanting our minds go there before we have the courage from him to do it. And give them authority to banish demons. I don't have to tell anyone here this, but we live in a very hurting world. There's opportunities every single day to share what God's done for you. There's an invitation to know him better every single day. What is that quote that goes, today is the first day of the rest of your life? Today is the first day of the rest of your life. It's true. How do we want to live the rest of our life? How do we want to deal in the future with our issues that come up? You know the old, how's that been working for you thing? I know, right? That's, people say that to you when you're like, not well. That's why I'm here. So we know that. We know that there's better ways. There's better ways to do old things. Some of those things we don't need to do. I wanted to ask Eric to come back up. He's whatever's on your heart, Eric. But and I know for our guest, if this is too uncomfortable for you, you don't need to do it. But I encourage you to, but you don't need to. We're going to take a moment. Think about what came in your thought bubble. Following Jesus when? And as Eric maybe strums or sings, whatever he wants to do, think about what's that thing? Is it finances? Is it marriage? Is it kids? Is it what? Is it numbness? You don't really feel anything and you would like to start feeling. Whatever it is, you know what it is. Or if you don't know what it is, you can ask the Holy Spirit to show you. And then I would like to maybe just if you want to turn in your rows, you can pray with each other, and we'll close, and I'll close this all in a few minutes. So let's just reflect for a moment, and then let's just turn to someone next to you and maybe share or pray with each other.